Hi, and welcome to Serial Sisters, a podcast where my sister and I tell each other true crime stories. I'm Devonna.
And I'm Kristen.
And this week, Kristen has a story for me.
Okay, so you know how we're all bored, and we're all just kind of rereading the same things and rewatching the same things. We just don't have the mental capacity for anything new.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I was rereading this book called My Heart is an Idiot.
Okay.
So he talks in one part, he's friends with this guy who's convicted of a murder, and I wanted to know a little bit more about it, mm-hmm. So I got into it. So this is the murder of Anastasia Whitbulls Fugan.
Okay, I have never heard that name.
Yeah. So this is obviously from My Heart is an Idiot, essays by Davy Rothbart.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also got info from The Skeptical Juror. He actually wrote a book about this
Okay. That
you can read for free on his website. And
oh,
it's really
cool.
Good.
Okay.
And then I also got info from Stasia.org and FreeByronCase.com.
Okay.
Okay. So the Lincoln Cemetery is on the eastern edge of Kansas City, Missouri. It occupies a large swath of forest and open land on Truman Road, just off I-435, across a stretch of gas stations and adult stores. So on October 23rd, 1997, around 4 a.m., a county sheriff on patrol saw a teenage girl lying on her back near the road.
Ooh, never good.
He figures that she was either drunk or passed out, but when he got out to check on her, he discovered that she had been shot in the face at close range.
Oh.
Blood had pooled in the grass under her head, and she was cool to the touch, with her eyes wide open.
Oh my God.
Her name was Anastasia Whitbulls Fugan, an 18-year-old college freshman.
Oh, that's so sad.
It's awful. So, Anastasia's autopsy was performed that morning at 9:30. They found that she had been shot in the nose within 6 inches, but it was possible that the gun had been touching her nose when it went off.
Ugh.
She had no defensive wounds, her clothes were in place and undamaged, and her tox screen didn't show any alcohol or drugs of abuse.
Okay.
She had some small bills in cash and some change in her back pocket, but they didn't find a purse with her body.
Okay.
The next day, before police had a chance to question him, Anastasia's boyfriend, Justin Bruton, was found dead behind an abandoned warehouse 50 miles south of town.
No fuck.
He'd completed suicide.
Oh, jeez.
He was 20 years old. After some investigation, the police told the press that they believed it was murder-suicide, but they lacked conclusive evidence. So, 3 years later, a friend of Anastasia's, Kelly Moffitt, came to the cops with a different story. She said she'd witnessed the murder that night and that the killer hadn't been Justin, but instead it had been her boyfriend at the time, who was Justin's best friend, Byron Case.
Mm.
Kelly said that Byron and Justin had felt that Anastasia was annoying and they had decided to kill her, and that Byron had pulled the trigger.
Oh my God, she's annoying. Holy shit.
At the time of the crime, Byron had been either 18 or 19 and Kelly was 14 or 15.
Wow.
So, Byron was arrested and tried for Anastasia's murder, and he was convicted, even though the state had no murder weapon, no forensic evidence, and their entire case hinged on Kelly's testimony of that night and a phone call that she had recorded herself without any police present.
Okay.
The jury deliberated for 4 hours, and on May 2nd, 2002, Byron Case was found guilty, and he was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. So, let's go back to that night, and I just kind of want to go over what happened.
Yeah.
And just talk about the different sides. And so to make things easier, let's start with facts that are consistent between both Byron and Kelly's stories.
Okay.
So all four of them were part of the goth scene, and they were kind of outsiders in their little Midwestern town. It was a little bit less than 2 years before Columbine.
Okay.
So, and Byron at the very least had a trench coat. I don't know if Justin did, but
okay.
He did own, like, a big black trench coat. You can see pictures of him online at the time. It was, you know, typical late 90s kind of goth kid.
Right, okay.
Justin and Anastasia had been having relationship issues. They were on again, off again so often that their friends had a hard time keeping track of what days they were together and which days they weren't.
Oh, jeez, okay.
Yeah, it was really tumultuous. They both struggled with depression and suicidal ideation, mm-hmm. and had each attempted suicide in the past.
Ooh, that's rough.
Justin was a college student, and his parents bought his condo for him, and they paid his bills. They had told him not to worry about getting a paying job because his job was to be a student and get his degree.
Mm-hmm.
Justin had proposed to Anastasia, but he went home the weekend of October 17th, and his parents told him that if he wanted to marry Anastasia, then that would be a grown-up decision, and if he went through with it, then he would have to begin supporting himself.
Uh-huh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Justin, Byron, and Kelly picked Anastasia up from the Dairy Queen on October 22nd, 1997. It was a Wednesday, by the way.
Okay.
They drove to Mount Washington Cemetery. The groundskeeper was there at the time locking up for the night. The four saw his headlights sitting behind them waiting, so they left. Anastasia's sister gets a call from Justin saying that they had gotten into an argument while driving and that she had gotten out of the car at a red light. When the light turned green, the other three drove away and left her.
Oh, that's nice. Okay.
Anastasia's father, Bob, and her stepmother, Diane, get home. Justin calls again to see if Anastasia had made it home yet. When Bob hears that his daughter was left on the side of the road in what was apparently a bad part of town, he goes looking for her.
Uh-huh.
He was by the gate to Mount Washington Cemetery around 11:30, and he heard a gunshot.
Oh, geez.
So that's not much of a timeline for what all happened.
Mm-hmm.
But since Byron has been convicted of Anastasia's murder, let's go ahead and just start with the version of events that Kelly told the police 3 years later.
Okay.
So all these times are in her timeline are mostly an approximation based on the fact that sunset was at 6:30 that night.
Okay.
And she says that it was dark enough for headlights to be on, but it was light enough that she could see what happened.
Okay, yeah, so like around dusk.
Yeah. So around 4:45, Byron and Justin come to Kelly's house to pick her up. They tell her that they're planning to kill Anastasia and that Justin can't do it, so Byron is going to, because Byron is curious what it's like to kill someone.
Ooh, hate that.
Uh-huh. So they go to the Phillips 66 gas station near Kelly's house, and they have Kelly call Anastasia and tell her to meet them at the Dairy Queen. They get there around 5:30 and pick her up. They get to Mount Washington Cemetery around 6, and they drive around for a bit before the groundskeeper chases them off. They then drive down Truman Road past Erotic City and go to Lincoln Cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
Once they're in the cemetery, they pull off the road. Justin and Anastasia get out of the car to talk. Byron and Kelly listen to them argue for a bit, and then Byron gets out of the car and he pulls a gun out of the trunk. In Kelly's police interview, she says it's a double-barrel shotgun, but on the stand during the trial, she says she wasn't sure what type of gun it was.
Okay.
Byron walks up behind Anastasia, who is facing Justin, and he shoots her from 5 feet away.
Ugh. Okay.
Anastasia is blown backwards, and Kelly can see her feet from where she's sitting in the car, so she knows she's lying on her back.
Ugh.
It's now around 6:30. Justin drives them to an industrial park where Byron gets rid of the gun, and then Byron drives them back to Justin's condo. They devise the story that they're going to tell the police, which I had mentioned earlier. I'll get into it more when I get to Byron's side.
Okay.
But it's that Anastasia got out of the car at a red light.
And they left her. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So then they take Kelly home, where Kelly tells her mother about Anastasia taking off, and Justin calls Anastasia's home and tells her sister what happened. Seeing her friend murdered led Kelly to get into drugs and alcohol, and she became addicted to crack.
Ugh.
Her and Byron stayed together for a while, but he never wanted to talk about him killing Anastasia, and it was eating Kelly up inside, so they broke up.
Okay, yeah.
She tried treatment, she relapsed, and eventually her parents kicked her out. She confesses to her father that she saw Byron murder Anastasia, and that's why she's been so messed up for the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, she tells her counselor at rehab that she saw Justin kill Anastasia. The counselor calls her parents, and Kelly tells them all that she only said it was Justin instead of Byron because Justin was already dead, and thus he couldn't get into trouble.
Okay.
But it was actually Byron, uh-huh, according to her. So they get a lawyer for Kelly. So on September 19th, 2000, Kelly's lawyer got in touch with the police and they offered information implicating Byron in exchange for immunity for Kelly. Later that day, Kelly talked to prosecutors and she offered to tape a phone call with Byron and to get him to confess.
Okay, and that's the phone call that was we talked about. Okay.
Yeah, that was the phone call that was in trial.
Okay.
So for some reason, it took until December 5th for them to take her up on that offer.
Mm-hmm.
The detectives came to Kelly's house, and they attached a recording device to her phone and showed her how to use it. She tried to call Byron that day, but she only got his answering machine. So they left the recording device just set up on her phone.
Okay.
And then called it good and left her there with it.
Gotcha. Okay.
So she kept trying to call him, and she finally got him on the phone on June 5th, 2001, around 11:30 at night. She sends it over to the police the next day. And the recording is apparently not great, and Byron's answers to Kelly's questions cut out a lot.
Okay.
The call is transcribed by the detective that set up the recording equipment. In the transcript, Kelly asks Byron why he killed Anastasia, and he says that they shouldn't talk about it. They make plans to meet up the next day, but police advise Kelly not to go. Since the audio on the call is so terrible and Byron doesn't really admit to anything, Kelly tries again at the prosecutor's office, but he doesn't pick up. She says it's because he can see the caller ID, so they all go to her house to try again. She gets a hold of Byron after a couple tries and has two detectives with her to record the call properly, but she doesn't get around to asking the question on this call. So, on Monday, June 11, 2001, Byron is arrested for Anastasia's murder. And then we know how the rest of this goes.
Yeah, okay.
So, now that we know what all happened to lead to his conviction, let's talk about his side of the story.
Yeah, because now I'm super curious.
And this is the version that Kelly originally went with. She corroborated his story for 3 years. On October 22nd, Byron was over at Justin's condo hanging out. Justin and Anastasia had plans to meet up to talk about their relationship, but she couldn't get a ride to see him, so he had decided not to go pick her up. Because they were fighting at the moment, so he just didn't want to deal with it.
Yeah, he's just like, fuck that.
Mm-hmm. So they talked on the phone around 2 p.m., and he told her he wouldn't be coming to get her. Byron and Justin went to a game store to exchange some games that Justin had brought from his parents' house the previous weekend, and then they went to pick up Kelly, because she only lived a few minutes from the game store, at around 4:45.
Okay.
They go to the Phillips 66 gas station by Kelly's house, and Justin calls Anastasia.
Mm-hmm.
Byron and Kelly are in the car while Justin is on the payphone, so they don't know exactly what is said.
Mm-hmm.
So while all this is happening, Anastasia is still trying to meet up with Justin. Anastasia's stepmom testified in court to some of what happened that afternoon. So her stepmother, Diane, picked up her sister, Francesca, from high school, and they got home around 3:30. Anastasia was waiting for them, and she asked Diane for a ride to Mount Washington Cemetery so she could meet Justin there.
Mm-hmm.
So Diane says she dropped Anastasia off at the cemetery around 4:15. When Justin calls, Francesca answers the phone and tells him that Anastasia is waiting for him at the cemetery.
Okay.
So Byron said that they went to Justin's condo for a while after that, and then when they get to the condo, there's a message from Anastasia on the answering machine. So at some point, she must have gotten sick of waiting for them, and she walked over to the Dairy Queen and used the payphone to call him.
Okay.
So the three of them get back in Justin's car, and they drive over to the Dairy Queen. They pick Anastasia up around 6:45. Around 7, they drive to Mount Washington Cemetery so Justin and Anastasia can talk, but the groundskeeper pulls up behind them and they leave.
Okay, yeah.
They drive around for a little bit with Justin and Anastasia arguing in the front of the car. I think the plan was probably for them to go back to Justin's condo. So they stop at a red light, and Anastasia asks Justin why he doesn't love her anymore. He responds with, "I don't know, I just don't."
Ugh.
So Anastasia gets upset, and she gets out of the car and she walks away. I'm pretty sure she was headed in the direction of her house.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of east and west, and I can't tell from the map.
Okay.
So I can't keep directions straight.
Gosh, I'm the worst at that.
I know. They were driving east. She walked west.
Okay.
Justin tries to get her to come back, but she won't come back, so he just drives away and he leaves her there.
Ugh.
So they go back to Justin's condo for a bit, and then they take a friend's ex's belongings back to her, and then they drop Kelly back off at home. Byron says it was just before 9 because that was Kelly's curfew on weeknights. At Kelly's house, Justin calls Francesca to let her know about Anastasia taking off and to see if she's made it home yet or not.
Mm-hmm.
Francesca believes this call came in at 9:30, and she says that Justin told her Anastasia had taken off an hour earlier, so it'd be 8:30 according to her.
Okay.
Yeah. Francesca says she's told Justin something along the lines of, "If anything happens to her, it's your fault." Justin takes Byron back to his mother's house, and Byron tells his mother about what happened. The next morning, Justin calls Byron at 9 in the morning to see if he wants to go get breakfast. Byron asks why he's up so early, and Justin tells him that he had trouble sleeping that night. Byron says that he's not ready to get up yet, and he'll talk to Justin later, and he hangs up. Justin goes to the bullet hole, and he is one of the first customers there when it opens. He buys a shotgun and a box of slugs. He then drives to the abandoned warehouse, where he completes suicide.
Oh, geez. Okay.
When the officers discovered his body, it had been raining for about 12 hours, but the ground under his car was dry, as was the ground under his body. They believe that he completed suicide not long after his 9 a.m. phone call to Byron.
Oh, gosh.
Byron says that Kelly had been experimenting with drugs and alcohol prior to Anastasia's death, but that it spiraled out of control after. They broke up, but Kelly continued to call him and ask him for help while she was struggling with addiction. He would let her come over to his house to eat and sleep and use his shower. At one point, they got into a fight over the phone about her substance abuse, and she called the police and told them that Byron was threatening to kill himself. They had to take Byron to a mental health facility, and they kept him on a 23-hour hold. The staff there noted that he was calm and cooperative and that he didn't seem to be suicidal. So after that, Byron was more reluctant to deal with Kelly.
Of course.
Yeah, why wouldn't you be? So Byron decided to move to St. Louis in part to get away from Kelly and all the drama. A couple nights before he was set to leave, Kelly showed up at his house again. He told her that he was moving and she was upset. According to Byron, Kelly told him that he'd better not leave or she would make his life hell. 6 days later, she confessed to her drug and alcohol counselor that Byron had killed Anastasia.
Okay.
There's a couple more things that I just want to kind of go over before we get into the theories of what maybe could have happened Anastasia besides Byron killing her. Both the owner and an employee of Dairy Queen remember seeing Anastasia there that night. Don, the employee, said that Anastasia was wearing baggy, light-colored jeans that dragged on the ground, sandals with socks, and a heavy coat or a jacket that she had kept closed.
Okay.
Anastasia asked Dawn for a pad, but Dawn used tampons, so she gave her one of those. She later says that she saw the wrapper in the trash and assumes that Anastasia used it.
Okay.
She says this happened in the hour before they closed, around 9. And she remembers because they were doing the closing procedures while Anastasia was there waiting for Justin. Kelly also remembers her having a purse at the Dairy Queen when she picked her up.
Okay. But yeah, there was no purse when she was found.
No.
Okay.
So her purse was later found at home sitting on the banister heading upstairs.
Oh, okay.
And Anastasia's autopsy listed her clothes as Doc Martin shoes, black denim jeans, a dark gray pullover shirt, and a light brown corduroy jacket.
Okay, yeah.
Also, she was wearing a pad.
Oh, okay.
So.
Hmm.
So, this guy, Don, worked as a mechanic at the Amoco station near the Lincoln Cemetery. He remembers seeing a lady get out of a car at the stoplight and walk away around 8:30 that night.
Okay.
He was shown a picture of Anastasia and said that it looked like her. But it was just a picture of Anastasia. It's not like he picked her out of a lineup of pictures. So.
It's a lot easier when you have the power of suggestion.
Exactly. So that night, Anastasia's house was empty for a few hours. After Diane dropped Anastasia off at the cemetery, she took Francesca over to Diane's toddler's babysitter's house so that she could get a haircut. And then Diane went over to her mother's house to do some work. After her haircut, Francesca went to a prayer meeting at the church. Anastasia's dad, Bob, got off work sometime after 8:30. He stopped by Diane's mom's house, and they both drove home in their own cars.
Okay.
So I believe it was about 3 miles from the cemetery back to Anastasia's house, which is far enough that you wouldn't necessarily want to walk it, but it's close enough that you could if you had to.
Exactly, yeah.
So, the first theory, and the one that Brian's defense tried to use, which, by the way, I forgot to put this in my notes because I'm dumb, Byron had a public defender.
Oh, okay.
His family couldn't afford a lawyer, so.
Okay, so yeah.
Public defenders, as we know, are completely overworked, so.
Exactly, yep.
So, their theory was that Anastasia was killed by a stranger.
Okay.
So killings done by strangers are more rare, but it does happen.
It does. Uh-huh.
That section of Truman Road, just off I-435, attracts long-haul truckers, vagabonds, and drifters with its adult bookstores, cheap motels, and the large sex shop called Erotic City, okay, which is four blocks down from the entrance to the cemetery.
Okay.
A couple of years after Anastasia's murder, a businessman was biking home along Truman Road when he was shot and killed in a parking lot. He'd been fired on from a line of bushes 50 yards away, and no one had seen the gunman.
Oh, fuck.
Eventually, police caught the killers, a pair of young locals in their late teens and early 20s. They hadn't even known the guy on the bike. Oh. All they gave for an explanation was that the guy looked like a chump.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so that's the area. Nightmare. Yeah.
I know. It's just awful.
Like, you're just out living your fucking life.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's the worst.
However, the evidence seemed to suggest that Anastasia knew her murderer.
Right, because if she was that close.
Yeah, she was killed at point-blank range, and there was no sign of a struggle, and there was no sign of sexual assault.
Uh-huh.
What little money she had was still in her back pocket, and her purse was found at home.
Yeah.
So, the other main theory is that Justin killed her in a suicide pact.
Mm.
Both of them had been suicidal in the past, and Justin had stopped taking Prozac recently, and he had begun experimenting with acid.
Oh, never good with your brain chemistry.
Mm-mm. So, 2 weeks before her murder, Bob remembers Anastasia asking him to buy sharper razor blades.
Ooh.
He says he gave her the number for a suicide hotline, but he apparently never followed up.
Oh, gosh.
Anastasia's mother, Betsy, says that about a month before her murder, she had asked if her uncles, who were doctors, would get her sleeping pills. Betsy told her no, since they were restricted drugs, and they would be putting their licenses in jeopardy to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Betsy says that she had talked to Anastasia on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, which was the day she died, mm-hmm, that week, and that she had seemed pretty down and like she didn't want to live. Betsy says that she could see Anastasia saying something along the lines of, well, if you're going to leave me, then kill me.
Oh, shit.
After Anastasia and Justin were both dead, the police took both their computers and they found a note from Anastasia to Justin on his computer saying, I wish I could kill myself. I wanted to do it before, but I couldn't because I firmly believed that you would come back to me. I hate life. Life is a big joke to be played on the ones who don't want to feel it. I never wanted to feel life.
That's so sad. Oh.
Everything about this case is the worst part about That's this case. So sad. Honestly. I know. This poor girl, she was only 18.
Yeah, it's so young. But life is so hard then. Like, your brain is not, like, fully developed, and everything just seems so immediate and, like, right in front of you.
I know.
Like, you just don't have that ability to see long term.
Well, especially with everything going on with her and Justin, I mean. Her mother had said that, like, for a while, it seemed like when her and Justin were in good times that she was doing a lot better and a lot happier.
Uh-huh.
And now he's breaking off the engagement. Yeah. They're possibly breaking up.
So there's definitely an element of codependency there.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So Justin was known to have had guns in the past, and he had gone to a gun show the weekend before when he was at his parents' house, although he told his father that he hadn't bought anything while he was there.
Okay.
So the first reports of a woman's body being found in the cemetery hit the news around 9 when Justin had called Byron to see if he wanted to get breakfast.
Mm.
Although Anastasia's name wasn't released to the press until around 5 that afternoon. So, on the other hand, if it was Justin that killed Anastasia in a suicide pact, why did it take so long for him to go through with it?
Right. Exactly.
I couldn't find a definitive time of death for Anastasia. But the skeptical juror has done some research into the condition of her body at the time it was found and how long it would take for various things to happen. And he believes that she died sometime after midnight.
Okay.
At the very least, she was definitely gone before the police officer found her at 3:45 a.m., though.
Mm-hmm.
So why did Justin wait for 5 or 6 hours if it was a pact that they had made?
Exactly. Yeah, you would think he would just get it done. Yeah.
And why would he have to go and buy another gun?
Yeah, and why would he ask his friend to go to breakfast?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. So at this point, Byron has exhausted all of his appeals. And even if Kelly were to recant her statement, as we know, saying that you were pressured into a lie by police, or even that you lied by choice, doesn't really do any good.
Not at all.
So the only thing that would lead to a new trial for Byron would be if some evidence were found to prove his innocence.
Mm-hmm.
As there wasn't ever any DNA found, though, odds don't look great.
Ugh.
He did file an application for a pardon from the governor of Missouri, but odds are pretty terrible on that as well.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a book called The Pariah's Syntax, and he doesn't have internet access, but he writes blog posts from prison that he mails out, and then they're put up on his blog at thepariahsyntax.blogspot.com.
Okay.
And that's it.
Oh my gosh.
He's still stuck sitting in prison.
That sucks, because, yeah, it doesn't
seem... It's been almost 20 years at this point.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, that is just so bizarre.
Yeah.
And doesn't seem like he did it.
It doesn't seem like it to me either, but I don't know who did.
Right, who did?
I mean, I think Justin seems like the most obvious choice. Maybe it wasn't a pact. Maybe it was she asked him to kill her, and then he was...
so guilty.
Yeah.
And so wrecked over it. I could see that.
Yeah.
But gosh.
There's also been suggestions that maybe it was a game of Russian roulette.
Okay.
But I just keep coming back to, why did he have to buy another gun?
Exactly, right. Like, if they already... Yeah, why?
Yeah.
That is so sad. Gosh, an 18 is just so young.
I know.
Ugh.
It's just three lives ruined all at once.
Yeah, one fell swoop.
Mm-hmm. It's just awful.
Sucks. Oh my gosh. Huge bummer.
Yeah, sorry. It's... No. Depressing, and there's nothing good at the end of it.
Yeah, there's crazy. There's no real, like, resolution at all.
Mm-mm.
And how sad for her family.
I know.
Ugh.
They believe that it was Byron.
Do they?
They're the ones that maintain the blog Stasia.org.
Gotcha. Okay.
They maintain it mostly as a rebuttal to FreeByronCase.com.
Okay.
So.
That's, yeah.
They believe that Justin took Anastasia home to change her clothes, and that explains all that.
Okay.
Before he killed her.
Huh. I still think that the, like, tampon pad discrepancy is interesting.
I do, too, because it's not like Don would be lying. You know what kind of product you use if you're a lady.
Exactly, right? Like, that's just not something you forget.
Yeah, you're not going to go, oh, maybe it was a pad, maybe it was a... You know which one it was.
Exactly, right? Like, if you've been using them for however long...
Uh-huh.
That is... Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That was a good mm-hmm. one.
It's pretty awful, but yeah.
I had never heard that.
Also, I guess I forgot to write it down, but the phone call was so bad that when the skeptical juror got a hold of the actual audio and tried to clean it up, He thinks a lot of the responses that were written down for Byron aren't actually what he said.
Ah.
Like, he thinks, for example, that Byron was saying, we should talk about this.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. And that's hard to say one way or the other when the audio's that shitty.
Yeah. And the jurors were given transcripts of what he was saying.
Right.
Instead of being forced to just try and figure it out on their own. So they were kind of being led.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like that thing of once you've been told what something sounds like.
Uh-huh. That's what you hear. Yeah. I mean, it happens all the time on, like, the ghost hunting shows.
Oh, for sure. I mean,
when you're listening to the EVP and you can't hear shit, and you're like, no.
And then
they put
up a
suggestion, and you're like, oh, yeah.
I guess
totally
I hear
what
that.
It says.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That sucks, man. Well, I hope sometime they figure that the fuck out.
I know. I just don't know what they can use to do so.
Right, because...
There's no DNA. There's just nothing.
And there's not, you know, a ton of surviving witnesses. Man.
Yeah. It's basically just Byron against Kelly at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And where Byron's already been convicted.
Right.
He's got the larger burden of proof at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Ah, fuck.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. You can email us at serialsisters@outlook.com or follow us on Instagram and Twitter @serialsisters. Bye.